Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
Welcome, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. This is the Manchester United Red Cars, celebrating what used to be the best club on planet Earth. I'm not quite sure now. Zero, nil pois for effort. Anyway, we'll get to that. Dan Riley is on my left. How are you, Dan?
I'm very well.
And Curly's on my right. Sorry, Christopher Curl. Curly is
yes,
on my right.
My mum and dad are listening to this, yes. And they'd like you to use Christopher Edward.
Yeah, and I give them a C minus for effort as well. Your mum and dad.
They really are listening. Yes. And I am giving you their number.
My name's Eddie. It's a pleasure to be here. We're laughing. I'm not quite sure why we're laughing. In fact, let's start on something upbeat, right, Dan? How brilliant was it to see the great man standing back in his stadium again? I mean, we've got to celebrate that after what happened with him. It's a remarkable recovery, and didn't he look brilliant?
He did. And it's kind of part of me thinks that wouldn't it be nice if he was back on the touchline trying to inspire the current crop. But all that aside, no. It's great to see, and as you say, quite a remarkable recovery considering.
Yeah, I mean, famous for that. Listening to Dan, famous was he for the hairdryer. But, you know, the skulls, the gigs, all those people. He had to put his arm around those kids and bring them in and bring them over. Heard a story about even people like George Best who wanted to run back as soon as they got here. Has his, in a way, let's explore the romance of it. You couldn't be Sir Alex and manage in 2018, could you?
It's sad if he couldn't. I mean, that's the thing. He should be able to. I'd have him back now.
Yeah,
if I could.
Well, doing the romance of it. Like, I'm just asking about the practicality of it.
I think you should be able to. I mean, it's like, I think you look at the Pep Guardiola chap who manages some other team, but even watching the Amazon documentary about him and the way he talked to some of the players, I'd imagine Fergie would talk to them. He could tell them off and he could drop them. I think, you know, I would like to think that Conte would lose his temper. I think the whole temper thing gets overused as to what it's a very easy thing to do. It's a very easy thing. I think even on League of Their Own this week with Patrice Evra, James Corden asked Patrice Evra to give him the hairdryer treatment. And it's like becomes a thing. And if Alex Ferguson's memory needs to be more than a cheap joke on a panel show, which it is to us.
Yeah, but I did make the point. I mean, he brought that group of youngsters together, and you wouldn't have been able to just shout at all of them. You know, the brothers, Beckham, you see what I mean? Scholes. He brought them through, and he would have had to, they would have been delicate, living in digs. And
I think that's why I actually think Ferguson would be a brilliant manager today, because Ferguson wasn't really, for me, a football manager. Ferguson was one of the great sports psychologists that's ever existed. He just knew how to talk to people, how to get people motivated. He knew how to speak to the press. He obviously was a great football man, and I'm not downplaying that by any stretch of the imagination, but tactically, Ferguson wasn't a brilliant tactician.
Right.
But what he did was he managed to speak to 11 players or 15 players and get them to deliver on the pitch. So I think he would step in today and speak to whichever 11 players he happened to be with. And I think he'd be able to get a tune out of anyone. I mean, he got, look at the teams that he got to win.
He did three or four, didn't he? I mean, if you can do two, apparently you're a good manager. He probably did three and a half, didn't he?
I think, you know, there's obviously the 93 team, there's the 99 team, and there's the 2008 team, which kind
of... And he left on a high,
which he built from scratch. And in between that, the 96 team was a merger of the new kids and the old chaps and stuff.
Having got rid of people like Ince.
Yeah, and he squeezed the life out of, you know, the 2008 team into... By the time he left, he managed to get one more title out of them. When, you know, they were probably... He hung on to players too long. And I think that was the start of the Glazers holding the purse strings. And I think in the history of Man United, signings like Ashley Young for 18 million will look back at the time as the start of that. And also how I remember going, that's when I had my season tickets and went often. The amount of times we talked about how we needed a midfielder and we never bought one because we were relying on Fletcher, Carrick and Scholes. I mean, I'd give me right foot to have those three.
Wait, let me ask you a couple of questions. Would Zaha still be playing for Manchester United if Sir Alex was the manager?
Wilfred Zaha. Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean,
he bought him for 15 million.
I mean, I think he saw a player. I mean, there you go. It's quite interesting that you bring Zaha up because I think that everyone kind of mocked that signing at the time. But as it's been proved, I think that Ferguson saw a player. Whether or not, you know, Zaha's spoken about it, I just don't think it was the right time. I think he was too young and it wasn't quite right.
I think Zaha would still be there. And I think one of Ferguson's parting gifts to the next manager was letting Rooney get out of the club because he realised Rooney was past it. And he brought Zaha in to be groomed. And it was funny, David Moyes was on Goals on Sunday and he was talking about Zaha and whether he should have stayed or not. And he was like, well, you know, we had Adnan Januzaj and Nani and stuff and he didn't quite settle. All the stories about the rumours on the internet about any relations that any member of the family David Moyes may have had with Zaha were not obviously talked about, which is one of the rumours why Zaha didn't fit in. Zaha is exactly the kind of player we are desperately lacking for right now. Someone with personality and courage who takes the ball on and takes the man on.
Yeah.
And now has end products because someone has showed belief in him. And he didn't get that because he wasn't Moyes' signing. He wasn't Van Gaal's signing. They wanted their own players. And that's a good example of the recruitment.
He went to a club between going back to Palace. Didn't he go to Cardiff?
He had a loan spell with us and went to Cardiff for a few months. Yeah. But, you know, it's hard for a move. It's a real culture shock if you haven't got, you know, friends and family nearby moving from South London to Manchester on your own for a big price tag. It's going to be hard. But would Ferguson have known and adapted and nurtured that? Yes, I think he would have done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing this because you know I'm going to Mourinho because, again, he's gone to the one trick pony has gone for the one trick again, which is to hammer his players. And I see managers of today, which is why we started with Sir Alex, protect their players, love their players, nurture. Klopp, I've seen those guys on the bicycles and doing all of that. Giggs tells a wonderful story about Sir Alex. They had a massive argument on the touchline and he's come and he's given the whole squad the hairdryer treatment and he went, you, don't you ever talk to your granddad like that again. And it's kind of broken it. But I don't see the ability. Maybe it's just because I'm not objective with Jose Mourinho anymore. I don't see his ability to do that. Do you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of torn in the fact that I understand what you mean about protecting the players and Ferguson wouldn't do that. I just kind of feel that I kind of have sympathy with what Mourinho said because to me, I didn't think the team performed very well. I think it's very strange what's going on. I find it hard to second guess what is the psychology at the moment. It's almost like we've had Pogba's comments in coming out after this. I just think it's very strange what's going on.
It's not healthy, is it? It's a power struggle.
In right, two six league games, two games, Brighton away and Wolves at home, he's complained about their attitude and they're mentally not right for it. Now, why does he have to do that twice in six games at the beginning of the season? Why, there was a big furore after the Brighton game about Pogba coming out and saying, we haven't got the right attitude and I haven't got the right attitude. And then that's the reason he gives again for another game, literally less than a month, about a month later. There is something obviously deeper going on. I was at the game on Saturday. I went for the game. And overall, it was lethargic. They had no energy. And you could see a couple of them were probably, if I'm being kind, they're suffering from the AstroTurf pitch nonsense from the other night that everyone warned about and they complained about. But there was no intensity. They lacked courage on the ball. And the players who were the attacking players in Lingard and Sanchez were poor.
Sanchez gave the ball away. Apparently.
He keeps giving the ball away, Eddie, all the time. He
played on the left-hand side, and I'd need to know what I'm getting for £400,000 a week. Because I haven't seen
I didn't see it on Saturday. Everything was in front of the fullback. He never looks to get in behind. Part of Pogba was actually on Saturday trying really hard throughout the game and was overdoing it and got caught a couple of times. And the second time he got caught resulted in their equaliser. And that equaliser was a shocking goal because everything that we'd like gone, oh, maybe they've got through it. Well, look at the way Costa went past Shaw and he didn't commit on the byline. He just was not quite there to block the cross. Lindelof at the near post wasn't in the right position. He was a yard off where he should have been. And then they slotted a great goal. But there were three mistakes leading up to that game, which I thought is explains everything Mourinho says about those players. Very characteristic of their
form. But it isn't that. You never had an argument with your partner and it doesn't become about what you say, it becomes about the way that you say it, which is why we spent the first 10 minutes talking about Sir Alex, because he can do exactly that. Klopp's whisked somebody off. Guardiola isn't scared of talking to anyone. You get the feeling that Emery will say what he needs to say, but how do I know you're with me then? It's me and you. You've seen two brothers fight. You got brothers? I don't know if you've got brothers. Two brothers can fight,
I've got
really.
Sister.
Right. But you two will probably fight. But any other bastard comes in there, starts handling your sister like that, you're going to have something to say. And that's what I saw at Chelsea. You see that? The bunker mentality at Chelsea.
I mean, much has been made, obviously, about the way Mourinho, for example, talked about Shaw. Now, He decided with Shaw to go for the stick rather than the carrot. And actually, if you look at where Shaw is compared to where he was, you could argue that was the right way to do it because he's got a player out of Shaw. It was looking at some points as though Shaw was a write-off.
But Dan, hasn't he got to do Luke Shaw got to play 3 or 4 months before we say he's back and of a player? I know what you're saying.
I'm almost using him more as an example of Mourinho's
ability to turn him around.
Psychology. And what I think is...
What's the psychology?
Well, the psychology, I think, is...
He wins the World Cup and you're going, well...
But I to be honest, Eddie, I think that those comments were slightly twisted. A lot twisted.
He speaks more languages than me and you. He has a perfect grasp of...
Combined.
Portuguese.
Yeah, but I think
Spanish,
French,
Italian.
Let's not get into let's talk about Saturday, which is what... I think he's coming out and he's challenging the team. The team was not good enough. This is not a team that I think he feels is gonna he goes forward with. So I think he's prepared to burn some of them.
He bought Sanchez.
Did he?
He bought Sanchez. Well, he pays the money.
Well, I don't know if he did.
He bought Pogba.
Yeah, he bought Pogba, of course.
He bought Lukaku.
But I don't know whether he's bought all of that.
You know what I mean? If you look at the players that he's bought enough players to be able to impact
on
the team.
Hang on. But I will caveat that. How many of those players were actually his top of the list? And how many of those players are the Ed Woodward second of the list? Ed Woodward... He's a very disingenuous person. We would have bought you Varane. Allegedly. We would have bought you Varane. I mean, it's a nonsense. You're never going to get Varane.
No, but even you look at all the stories coming about when Mourinho goes and Zidane comes, right? And United are still after Cruz, Bale, Thiago Alcantara. They're all the players we've been linked with for the last 6 years, and now they're all 6 years older. Yes. Here's the problem with Mourinho, that he can't help himself at the moment, and I don't. And I think United fans back the manager because they believe in backing the manager, and they believe the chairman hasn't backed him. But it's hard to back him when his signings haven't worked, when they play a style of football which is stale, when you see a conservatism and a lack of ambition in the attacking play.
That's what Pogba means,
and then
attack,
finally,
attack, attack.
There's no plan B. And when your plan B, again, with 20 minutes to go on Saturday, was launching it to Fellaini, I'm sorry, but if Moyes or Van Gaal had done that, there'd be riots. And he's getting away with it, yet we all now know it. And I think I feel for some of those players because he's not getting the best out of them. But fundamentally, those players aren't good enough.
I think it's the perfect, not the perfect, the imperfect storm of every that it's gone wrong at every level. It's gone wrong at board level. It's gone wrong at management level. It's gone wrong at the players level. I kind of thought, you know, after the last few games where we sort of went back to basics, as it were, and he went kind of quite defensive. I thought, oh, maybe, you know, he's kind of trying to, you know, get it going again, rebuild it, just baby steps after the two terrible defeats. But I just don't know if the components are there for us to do much more than maybe a top four.
I think we're going to struggle top four. I think we're going to struggle to get fourth. I don't see it in this squad. I don't see the attitude. I don't see the intensity. I don't see the pure ability in terms of... I think the only way we can make the top four is if, for some reason, Hazard gets injured and Chelsea can't score goals, because I think they're a better side than us at the moment. I think Tottenham should make the top four, but I'm worried for us making the top four the way it stands at the moment.
It's interesting that you're comparing us to somebody, a team that lost three on the bounce. This is the Manchester United Redcast. That was Chris there. Dan is in the building. We're going to take a little break while I enjoy one of these Watney's pale beers. They are absolutely fantastic. I think it's time that I had another one back after I've had a little sip.
The Man United Redcast is lubricated by Watney's Pale Ale. Watney's Pale Ale, the Man United Redcast, beer of the month.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
Excuse me, I got caught out there. Welcome back to the Manchester United Redcast. This is supporting, I suppose, arguing. The best podcasts are usually after a loss or a draw, and we've had enough of those to talk about. Where are we? Will we come top four? Is Mourinho the right manager? What is our playing style? Will there be money to back him in the January transfer window? My name's Eddie. Chris is here with me. Dan is here with me. We're going to do some of that stuff and preview the games coming up against Derby and West Ham too. What is our playing style, Dan?
This is a very, very good question. When we were discussing earlier, and Chris was talking about, you know, the players and the way they've been playing, I just and you know, Sanchez coming in and Lingard coming in from the midweek. That's what I think is part of the problem. I don't know if we have a style that when players come in, they know the way they've got to play. It just looks to me too much like it's a bit, well, slow, and let's see what happens. Like, who's our number 10? Who's our wide players? Is the idea that the fullbacks get wide and get the ball in? We've got Lukaku, who's clearly a player who thrives on width and balls played in behind, don't seem to be playing to him. Yeah. I don't know what the playing style is. I mean, I'd almost rather we sort of went more direct.
On Saturday, again, people around me were getting really frustrated with Lukaku and his movement and his touch. But he was getting rubbish ball. He was getting fight balls that were 10 yards away, and he can't do anything with that. And he did look tired, and he didn't play well, and he had one of those games, to be fair, right? He just did. Which, when other people have got step up. It's when Lingard has to step up. It's when Sanchez has to step up.
But you feel as though they're all playing with their hand with the handbrake on. And you feel like he said to them, you've got to do this job. You mustn't move from this area. And that's how they're playing. You know, when you first learn to drive and you're thinking about how you get from A to B and you get closer to the windscreen and all that. And then other times, and you just do it naturally. They are not playing
but
a throwing
style
of football.
He can't be saying that to the attacking players. They've got enough.
But this
enough,
isn't new.
But they've got enough shield. What I'm saying, they've got enough of a shield at the with Fellaini in there, right, and Matic in there. There's enough of a shield.
Every time you say Fellaini, he gets upset.
But there's enough of a shield for those attacking players to be going forward. I just don't think there's enough performance from those players.
They don't know where to run, how to run. They don't know how at home they can go past the man and get a cross in. It wasn't difficult to work out what we needed to do on Saturday. They're not equipped to do it. I watched Jesse Lingard pretty closely on Saturday, and the lad trots around, looks a little bit busy, but he hides on the ball because he doesn't go for a killer pass. He'll play the safe option first. Now, whether that's in him, whether that's you saw it for England, he just keep the ball. He's not effective. He's not been effective for a long time. He is playing within himself, but I don't believe you've got the right... We have the right players. Poor Valencia. Poor Valencia looked like a Grand National winner who had gone back for the third time to Aintree, and you're like, oh, I remember him when he won me the Grand National and romped it and I made a few quid. Now, let him just go to Lytham St. Anne's and trot about the sands for a bit because he couldn't get up and down the pitch. There was nothing. If you're going to play in 4-3-3, especially at home, those fullbacks have got to get wide and get forward. He could not get up and down. And the quality of ball suffered. It was so poor on Saturday that, you know, the highlight of which was getting a blagging the weekend first on the train back. That was the best thing about it.
The Grand National analogy is quite apt, actually, because, I mean, we're not looking much more than an each-way bet at the moment for anything.
For fourth.
For anything.
You do get... You
well,
do,
Carabao
you get
Cup.
Paid.
Carabao
you get paid
Cup. For. Maybe that'll be our...
I think he's done those now. We've seen those.
I think you're right.
Champions
mean nothing.
League
they mean
or
nothing.
Premiership.
I think you're right.
No, if, I mean, they don't...
I'm merely being facetious.
I know you are. But usually as a manager, you can hold on to one of those.
Yeah, and
you go, I can show you progress.
Klopp and Pochettino need to win the Carabao Cup. They need to win a trophy.
They need
That'd
to
be
win
good
something,
for them, right?
Yeah.
Us winning the Carabao Cup means absolutely nothing. We learn absolutely nothing from it. And I think that, I don't know, I still think what I said a month ago, it is a matter of time. These three away, before Jose goes, the last three away games, they've been solid result performances. But analyse who we actually beat. We beat an absolutely knackered Burnley side away from home. We beat a good Watford side, but without David De Gea, who, for me, I was arguing on the barge. There's a barge to the game, by the way, you should get. It's really good.
As opposed to the train.
You get the barge, so you get the pub, you get the barge from Castlefield, right? Get on the barge straight to Old Trafford. Met a lovely fella, Cyril from Shrewsbury. He's the kind of guy, lovely fella, he's about 60 now, who, you know, if you got a duvet and like a lampshade in your room when you were like 12 and you kept adding to it.
That's what he said.
You kept adding to it, but you did that till you were 60 and then wore it.
You're
to the match.
He's probably listening
I've told him I would, and I give him he's a lovely fella, and he's a proper United fan who comes up from Shrewsbury and frankly deserves to see better.
I think that if you look at the front players, we have as good a front line as anybody. Would you not agree? Technically?
No.
Technically?
No.
No, not at all.
Well, as good as any... Picking up on the words, but...
Anybody.
As good as Firmino,
no.
Salah and Mane.
No.
As good as... Sane, Aguero and Sterling, no. I'd say no. Not on form, not on results, not on effectiveness. As good as Ali, Eriksen and Kane, no.
Yeah.
As good as... Well, maybe Chelsea might not quite the same. Yeah. Though better than those three? I don't think so. I don't think you can say that way they've played.
And you know what? It's like the debate comes back. It came back at the beginning of the end of the window when we were discussing about... He wanted more defensive players.
Yes, central defence.
And I don't really think it's the defenders that are the problem, because I think The defenders we've got are okay and they will do a job. The problem is we don't score enough goals. Right. How many goals have we scored this season?
I think Sanchez, to come for that money, you would have expected him to have been a 20-goal-a-season person, and he isn't.
But it's been a problem for 3 years about how we try and score goals.
Yeah, but didn't buy him to score 5 goals.
Under Van Gaal two seasons ago, we scored about 56 goals.
Yeah.
We scored about 2 goals more than Bournemouth. Last season, we didn't score enough goals.
But who's a natural wide player that we have who can make goals?
No.
Where's the creativity coming from in the field? It does not
exist. There is, under Van Gaal and under Mourinho, we played for one striker. So one striker has scored 25 or 30 goals, right? So Lukaku or
Zlatan.
It is Zlatan.
You were lucky on that bet.
But you've not got the 10 coming from the Scholes and the 8 coming from the Beckham. You've not got...
No. No. And you know what? We talked about Fergie earlier, and I think of those days of Fergie, and you know what Fergie loved? Fergie loved a striker, right? Fergie loved a striker. We used to have four. He used to have regularly four strikers. We've got two in Rashford and Lukaku. Sanchez, no one knows quite what he is. That's it. So the pressure on Lukaku is so much that if he has a bad game,
we're
who comes in?
I tell you how bad things are. I was watching MUTV late at night and Nani was on. And I missed Nani, Eddie.
Yeah. I didn't see Nani. He didn't play for Portugal.
Nani would walk into that side right now.
But how many times did we moan about Nani? And I miss Nani. It says the state of where we are.
Well, haven't we got the option on Memphis Depay?
But come on, I mean, but
who else are you going to go for?
I don't know. Lozano, the Mexican lad, he can run and he can cross it and he's fast.
But you know what? This is
Traore at Wolves if he gets his end product right.
This is where when you start to speculate about who we should bring in, this is where I get really seriously concerned because I think there's about 11, genuinely. I just don't know where you start with it. I think it's got to be up front. It's got to be up front because
you need to score the goals.
I think the reason the defence is under so much scrutiny, in my opinion, is because we don't score enough goals. If you look back at the Ferguson records, we would often concede at home ones, twos. But you're scoring threes, 3-1s, 4-2s. If you look at the results, that was what it was. So you knew, didn't matter if you made a mistake because you were playing the game on the front foot.
Exactly. And that's the attitude and the culture of the team and the club, which doesn't exist there anymore.
Right now,
David De Gea has saving us the last 6 years. He is carrying Manchester United Football Club just as well as Brian Robson did in the 80s. If we did not have David De Gea, where would we be? A long way off from where we are right now. I believe David De Gea right now is our all-time keeper. I think I would have him in goal because of what he's done when he makes those saves. He won that Watford game.
The difficulty is that what you're doing is picking a goalkeeper in a failing team, right? And actually, the way that it works is that goalkeepers who do well are the ones we like, are the ones that do well in a winning team. Because you can't pick somebody. If a striker could score you 40 goals, you know, Kane might score. If Tottenham don't win anything, then it's difficult to lord, for me anyway.
It is, but I want to use De Gea as a great example of a proper Manchester United player with the ability that we should expect, with the talent that that is worthy of the club, which has the attitude of a player that when Real Madrid came calling and he didn't get the move he wanted because of faulty fax machine, did he go moaning to the papers like some people recently have? No, he carried on. And not only did his form continue, it got better. And that I want that spirit and those values throughout our side.
Right. So look, we've looked at and analysed, and anytime you feel like you want to make a contribution, then we'll still take those emails or you can get on the Twitter. It's easy to find us. Next game up, Derby County. What do you reckon? Do you care?
It'll be interesting. I mean, there's a nice side story of Lampard and Mourinho. Great friends, obviously, from their time at Chelsea. That's kind of probably the most interesting thing about it.
He's a new dad.
Who cares about tomorrow? Who cares?
Okay, well, just let us go chronologically.
No, I know, but I think it's a point of where we're at going, who
but
cares?
Momentum is everything. I think that you always want to win games. Ask Arsenal. I mean, Arsenal are now a top four candidate.
Here we go. Here's my thing about tomorrow. Daldo will probably play again.
Did you say that right? Because
have another drink.
That reminds me of Cyril in Shrewsbury again.
Have another drink.
Diogo, as I will now call him.
Diogo Dalo. Don't get
that's
that too
so
mixed up,
bad,
Dan.
Isn't it?
You'll be in trouble.
I know. But he will play hopefully tomorrow, and I think he's been one of the few positives of the last week. I mean, he really did look a prospect. We did say the same thing about Darmian, so we have to kind of, you know, not get into paltry accountancy too quickly. But I think he looked really good. He'll play tomorrow. And I think put him in that team over Valencia, and I think the team will hopefully be better and more
certainly
on the front
forward,
foot.
Certainly because, going forward and at home.
And it's like,
ball, for sure.
And at the moment, I mean, that's where we are, isn't it? That's the kind of meagre...
I know, but you know,
hopes that we're taking.
Also, you could see a youngster kind of coming through and getting a run out. And you go, you know what? They might actually be quite decent. Just a couple of them, first signs of Welbeck getting them experience into the first team squad. Yeah, Dalo will do that. You know, I've been watching a couple of reserve games. Chong, Gomez, they're doing pretty well. There's the kid Greenwood, who's 16, playing under 18s, who it looks like a proper finish to right, left foot. So, you know, but you know, you're not, are they going to get a run out in those things? We need to get excited. Pereira needs to start.
Pereira
needs to go and get the ball shifted again because he's got the right attitude when I've seen him play. Yeah, he wants to play forward first, 1-2-touch passing. So I would hope we get out tomorrow that Pereira can make a statement, that Dalot can get forward on the right and get some confidence into Rashford and Martial.
Okay, so look, let's go to the big one. They nicked a point off of Chelsea at their home, of course, away for us. They're in their new stadium. Their manager was under pressure, though you wouldn't be able to tell it from the look of him. Just the calmest Chilean you've ever seen in your life. How are you feeling about? I mean, we need to really do West Ham, don't we? But they're going to come in with an effort.
I think watching the game yesterday that they'll play very similar against us. And I don't think we've got a magic player like Hazard to break them down necessarily in the final third. Now, Hazard struggled because they haven't got a centre forward. I expect a very similar game against West Ham as what happened against Chelsea, and they'll try and hit us on the break. And I think if Arnautovic gets back fit, he'll take the chances that Mikel Antonio didn't take yesterday. And that concerns me on Saturday in a lunchtime kickoff.
Yeah, they're never, ever good, are they? I guess it's because you always remember the defeats. But I think with you can see that narrative forming. The Arnautovic speculation that Mourinho wanted him. He'll be out to want to prove a point. He has been scoring in a very poor, underperforming West Ham team up until their last two defeats. But he's been very good. I think, as Chris said, I think teams look at United and they think, when United have to come at you, that's when they're not very good. Let them come at you. Play United like they're at home and they won't know what to do. Come at United.
And they'll hit you on
the
break. Which is a classic Mourinho team, right? But it's not a Man United team.
No. I agree. And that's the disconnect I see. So call it then.
I think it'll be a score draw on Saturday.
I hate you for saying that because that's what I think. Call it.
Well, you did ask.
A bad feeling. I think I've got
another sit of your Watney's beer before you go to get over that.
Just thank you.
I'm gonna go full pessimist and say we're gonna lose, and it will be screaming headlines.
Well, that would be it. That would be one good big hard 6-inch nail in that coffin, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
God, thank God you said nail again. I thought you were going to talk about his Daldo. I thought, I've got to save this again.
I genuinely thought that was his name.
It's better.
It is. It is.
I'm going to get you that, the pink shirt, and stick that on the back. I dare you to wear it. Dan's currently now having some kind of semi-heart attack.
Yeah,
have a sip of your Watneys. It'll calm you down.
It's done all right. This has got us through it. I don't know what's going to get Manchester United through it, but something's got to happen. I think people are looking at that team, looking at the effort, going to training. I think, just watch this space. Next 3 or 4 weeks, something will happen and we'll know where we are. Chris? Always a pleasure, mate.
I miss you, Edward.
Well, I miss both of you. That's why I was happy to come and do it today, Dan. Nice to have you. What was last week like?
It was a gap in the schedules, Edward.
Okay, sorry.
still recording, testing, yes, still recording.
Yeah, bleep, bleep, bleep.
Just in case he says something off mic and Eddie can never be heard on the podcast ever again.
God bless you both. Look after yourself. Manchester United Redcast. You can find us wherever you want us. Make sure you feedback. We'd like to hear what you think. If you completely disagree, it makes it even better because we're like that. Dan, Chris, look after yourself. Till next time. Come on, you Reds.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
Sports Social Podcast Network.